Have you ever been pushed so far to the edge that throwing yourself into the abyss seemed like the safest choice? When the blood in your veins is treated as currency and your future is sold to the cruelest bidder, desperation breeds madness. She thought she was outsmarting her tyrannical father. She thought marrying a nameless, faceless mercenary in the shadows of a tavern would be her ticket to freedom. But when the snow settled and the blood spilled, the hood fell back. She hadn't just escaped a monster. She had bound her soul to the Alpha King. Stay tuned, because this story is about to rewrite everything you know about fate. The winter winds howling through the jagged peaks of the Ironhold Mountains were nothing compared to the chill freezing Rosalind's heart. High in the stone fortress of the Silver Moon Pack, the torches flickered, casting long, skeletal shadows against the tapestries that depicted her ancestors. Rosalind stood by the narrow slit of her bedchamber window, her breath pluming in the frigid air, staring down at the courtyard. Below, the men of her pack were drinking, their raucous laughter echoing off the ancient walls. Among them was Gideon. Even from this height, Rosalind could make out his massive, hulking silhouette. He was her father's top enforcer, a brute of a wolf whose cruelty was legendary. He had a penchant for tearing the throats out of rogues for sport, and he wore their teeth as grisly trophies around his thick neck. And in 3 days, by the decree of Alpha Lucian, her own father, Rosalind was to become Gideon's mated wife. "I won't do it," Rosalind whispered, her fingers gripping the icy stone sill until her knuckles turned stark white. In the brutal medieval hierarchy of the lycanthrope world, a female of Alpha blood was a prized breeding mare, a political token to be spent to secure loyalty. Alpha Lucian was facing a rebellion on his southern borders, and Gideon's loyalty was the only thing keeping the pack from fracturing. The price for that loyalty was Rosalind. She had begged. She had pleaded. She had even offered to take the oath of the Silent Sisters and live out her days in the isolated monasteries of the High North. Her father had simply backhanded her across the jaw, leaving a bruise that still throbbed beneath her jawline. There was only one loophole in the ancient, blood-soaked laws of their kind. A female could not be forced into a mating if she was already bound by a blood-packed marriage to another. The pack law was absolute, but the old magic of the goddess was supreme. If she belonged to someone else, the mate claim Gideon intended to force upon her would be rendered void, burning him to ash if he tried to complete it. Rosalind turned away from the window. The heavy oak door of her chamber was locked from the outside, but she had spent 22 years in this oppressive stone cage. She knew its secrets. Pulling aside a heavy, moth-eaten tapestry depicting the first moon goddess, she pressed her hand against a loose mortar joint. The stone gave way with a soft grate, revealing a narrow, dust-choked servant's passage that hadn't been used in a century. She dressed quickly, shedding her fine silken gown for a rough spun tunic, heavy wool trousers, and a thick hooded cloak lined with rabbit fur. She strapped a silver-forged hunting dagger to her thigh. It wouldn't do much against a fully shifted werewolf, but it gave her a sliver of comfort. The journey down through the bowels of the fortress was treacherous. The air grew damp and smelled of earth and old bones as she navigated the pitch-black tunnels, guided only by memory and the faint drafts of cold air. When she finally emerged through a rusted iron grate in the eastern ravine, a mile away from the fortress gates, the snow was falling heavily, cloaking her tracks. Her destination was the Boar's Head, a lawless tavern situated in the neutral territory of the Borderlands. It was a haven for rogues, exiled witches, and mercenaries who sold their fangs to the highest bidder. It was a place a lady of the Silver Moon should never step foot in. It was exactly where she needed to be. The tavern was a sprawling, multi-story structure of blackened timber and stone, built into the side of a steep cliff. As Rosalind pushed open the heavy wooden doors, a wave of heat, stale ale, roasting meat, and unwashed bodies washed over her. The noise was deafening, a cacophony of growls, drunken singing, and the clatter of dice on wooden tables. She kept her hood pulled low, her heart hammering wildly against her ribs. She needed a mercenary. Someone desperate for coin and reckless enough to marry an Alpha's daughter, cross her father, and smuggle her out of the territory. She had two heavy pouches of pure gold coins strapped to her waist, her mother's dowry. It was enough to buy a small army, or one very foolish husband. Rosalind navigated the crowded room, ignoring the leering gazes and the predatory sniffs of the rogues who caught the scent of an unfamiliar female. She scanned the room, looking for a solitary figure. Her eyes landed on the far corner, swallowed in the shadows away from the roaring hearth. A man sat alone at a small, scarred table. He wore a heavy, travel-stained cloak of dark grey wool, the hood pulled up, completely obscuring his face. His gloved hands rested on the table, nursing a simple mug of ale. But what drew Rosalind to him wasn't his isolation. It was the sheer, suffocating aura radiating from him. The space around his table was completely empty. Even the most drunken, belligerent rogues gave his corner a wide, respectful berth. The air around him felt heavy, almost crackling with latent, restrained power. Swallowing her terror, Rosalind marched toward the dark corner. "I need a blade, and I need a name," Rosalind said, stopping just before his table, keeping her voice low but steady. The man didn't move. For a long, agonizing moment, he simply sat there. Then a voice rumbled from beneath the hood. It was deep, resonant, and thrummed with a commanding cadence that made the hairs on Rosalind's arms stand up. It sounded like the low, warning growl of a predator right before it strikes. "You have wandered far from your ivory tower, little bird," the stranger said. "The boar's head is no place for a pampered lady." Rosalind stiffened. "I have gold, more than you could earn in 10 lifetimes as a sellsword." She unhooked one of the pouches and dropped it on the table. It landed with a heavy, satisfying clinking sound. "And I need a husband, tonight." The man slowly reached out a gloved hand and pushed the pouch back toward her. "Gold is a burden in the snow. What makes you think I want a wife, let alone one running from an Alpha's wrath?" "Because you're sitting in a tavern for exiles," Rosalind countered, her chin jutting out. "And because I can offer you safe passage through the Silvermoon Mountain passes to the eastern ports. I know the patrol routes. You marry me, take me out of the territory, and the gold is yours. We part ways at the coast." The stranger fell silent. Beneath the cowl, Rosalind felt the weight of his gaze. It was piercing, analyzing her, stripping away her bravado to see the trembling desperation underneath. "A blood-packed marriage," he mused softly, the words sending a shiver down her spine. "It cannot be undone, little bird. The magic binds the soul. Even if we part at the coast, the mark remains. Better bound to a stranger than broken by a monster," she replied, her voice breaking just a fraction, revealing the raw terror of Gideon's impending claim. A heavy silence stretched between them. Then the stranger slowly stood up. He was incredibly tall, towering over her, his shoulders broad and imposing beneath the heavy cloak. "Keep your gold," the stranger said, his voice dropping to a near whisper that only she could hear. "I will accept your bargain, but I do not fight for coin." "Then what do you want?" Rosalind asked, her breath catching. Your absolute obedience until we cross the border, he replied, and when the time comes, a favor of my asking. It was a dangerous deal. A favor from a nameless rogue could mean anything. But the image of Gideon's sneering face flashed in her mind. Deal, Rosalind said. We do it now. Before my father realizes I am gone. To execute a true blood pact, they needed a practitioner of the old ways. The stranger led Rosalind out of the tavern's back entrance, bypassing the drunken brawls and into the biting cold of the night. They walked in silence toward a dilapidated hut at the edge of the neutral zone, nestled against the treacherous cliff face. The hut belonged to Agatha, a blind, ancient witch who smelled of dried sea and ozone. She had served as a neutral arbiter in the borderlands for decades, surviving the wrath of the shifting packs through sheer magical prowess and a reputation for absolute neutrality. As they entered the dim, smoke-filled hovel, Agatha was already waiting, her milky, sightless eyes turned toward the door. I smell wolf, the old crone rasped, her voice like grinding stones. One desperate, smelling of silver pine and fear. And one... She paused, her head tilting as if listening to a frequency Rosalind couldn't hear. Agatha swallowed hard, her gnarled hands trembling slightly. One who carries the weight of a storm. We require a binding, Agatha, the stranger said, his tone respectful but firm. The old rite, the blood pact. Agatha nodded slowly, shuffling toward a stone altar in the center of the room. It is a heavy magic. It weaves the threads of your fates together. If you betray one another, the magic will turn to poison in your veins. Are you certain? Rosalind looked at the cloaked figure beside her. He was a complete enigma. She didn't even know his face. Yet as he stood beside her, radiating a strange, steadying heat, she felt a bizarre sense of calm wash over her panic. I am certain, Rosalind said firmly. I am. The stranger echoed. Agatha pulled a ceremonial silver dagger from her robes, its hilt inlaid with moonstones. Bare your palms. Rosalind pulled off her leather glove, offering her trembling hand. The stranger did the same. His hand, exposed from the heavy leather, was large, calloused, and deeply scarred. A warrior's hand. Agatha chanted, in a language older than the stones of the Ironhold Mountains. The words vibrated in the air, making the hairs on Rosalind's neck stand on end. The witch dragged the silver blade across Rosalind's palm. The sting was sharp, and bright red blood welled up instantly. She repeated the action on the stranger's palm. Join them, Agatha commanded. The stranger stepped closer. He took Rosalind's hand, pressing his bleeding palm against hers. The moment their skin and blood connected, a gasp tore from Rosalind's throat. It wasn't just a physical touch. It felt as though a jolt of raw lightning had struck her chest, traveling down her arm and exploding into her heart. The air in the small hut crackled with sudden energy, the flames in the hearth flaring to a blinding white. A glowing silver rune, the ancient symbol of the mate bond, ignited on the back of her hand, searing itself into her flesh before slowly fading into her skin like a tattoo. But there was something else, a pressure, a massive, overwhelming wave of dominance and ancient magic washed over her mind. A normal mate bond felt like a warm embrace. This felt like standing at the edge of the ocean during a hurricane, awe-inspiring and terrifying. The sheer magnitude of the soul she had just tethered herself to almost brought her to her knees. The stranger's grip tightened, holding her up. Beneath his hood, his breathing had hitched as if he too was struck by the unexpected intensity of the magic. "It is done," Agatha whispered, falling back into her rocking chair, looking exhausted. "You are bound by blood, by soul, and by the goddess. You are husband and wife. Pack law holds no sway over you now, girl." Rosalind stared at her hand, flexing her fingers. The cut was already healing, leaving a faint, silvery scar. She looked up at the towering man beside her. What are you?" she breathed, still reeling from the magical impact. Before he could answer, a sound pierced the night. It was distant at first, a long, mournful sound carrying on the winter wind. But then it was joined by another and another. It was the synchronized, blood-curdling howl of a hunting party, the Silver Moon Pack. Rosalind's blood ran cold. "They know I'm gone. They've picked up my scent." "Then we must move," the stranger said, his voice shedding its quiet rumble, becoming sharp and authoritative. "The Eastern Pass, you said?" "Yes, through the Weeping Woods. But if my father's hunters are out, Gideon is leading them. They are incredibly fast." "So am I," he replied, pushing the door open to the howling storm outside. "Stay close to me, wife." The word sent an unexpected thrill through her stomach, overriding her terror. They plunged into the blizzard, running toward the dense, imposing tree line of the Weeping Woods. The snow was knee-deep, slowing Rosalind down, but the stranger moved with effortless grace, his long strides breaking a path for her. They ran for over an hour, the sounds of the pursuit growing steadily closer. The Silver Moon Wolves were intimately familiar with this terrain. Rosalind's lungs burned, and her legs felt like lead. She stumbled over a hidden root, falling face first into a snowbank. Instantly, the stranger was there, hauling her to her feet with one strong arm. "I cannot run anymore," Rosalind gasped, clutching her side. "Leave me. They only want me. If they catch you aiding me, Gideon will tear you to pieces." The stranger stopped. The wind whipped his dark cloak around him like shadows coming to life. He looked back toward the tree line they had just passed. Through the driving snow, the glowing yellow eyes of wolves began to materialize. Dozens of them. "I made a vow, Rosalind of Silver Moon," he said quietly, uttering her name for the first time. "I do not break my vows, and no mere dog is going to tear me to pieces." He turned to face the oncoming pack, stepping in front of Rosalind, placing himself firmly between her and the danger. He didn't draw a weapon. He didn't shift into his wolf form. He simply stood there, a dark monolith against the white snow, waiting. The trees rustled violently as the Silver Moon hunters broke through the clearing, circling them in a wide, predatory ring. Their massive, dire wolf forms were intimidating, their jaws slavering, their eyes fixed on Rosalind. Then the pack parted. A colossal, pitch-black wolf stalked forward into the clearing. With a sickening crunch of bones and a ripple of fur, the beast shifted back into a human form, uncaring of the freezing cold. It was Gideon. He was naked, his body corded with thick muscle and covered in jagged, ugly scars. His eyes burned with a maniacal, possessive fury. Behind him, two more wolves shifted. One was her father, Alpha Lucian, wrapped in a heavy fur cloak brought to him by an enforcer. His face was a mask of furious, cold authority. "Rosalind!" Lucian boomed, his alpha command lacing his voice, designed to force submission from his pack members. The command hit Rosalind like a physical blow, making her knees buckle. But the stranger reached back and caught her arm, his grip acting like a magical grounding rod, nullifying her father's compulsion entirely. Lucien's eyes narrowed at the cloaked figure. You have disgraced your bloodline, girl, fleeing into the night like a common whore. And you? Lucien sneered at the stranger. Whatever gutter rat you are, step aside. Give me my daughter, and I will grant you a quick death. Gideon laughed, a harsh, grating sound. No, Alpha. Let me have him. I'm going to rip his arms off and beat him with them before I drag my bride back to my bed. Rosalind stepped out from behind the stranger, her chin raised despite her terror. I am not your bride, Gideon. I am bound. I took the blood pact. She held up her hand, the faint silver scar catching the moonlight breaking through the clouds. A collective gasp echoed from the human form enforcers. A blood pact was sacred. It was absolute. Lucien's face turned purple with rage. You stupid, insolent bitch! You bonded yourself to a nameless rogue, a beggar! He roared, his fangs descending as his control slipped. Pack law or not, I will slaughter him, and then I will lock you in the dungeons until you rot. Kill him! Gideon barked to the surrounding wolves. Four massive wolves lunged at the cloaked stranger simultaneously from different directions. What happened next was so fast, Rosalind's eyes struggled to comprehend it. The stranger didn't shift. He barely seemed to move. He simply sidestepped the first wolf, bringing his fist down on the back of its neck with a sickening crack that sent the beast crashing lifelessly into the snow. In the same fluid motion, he grabbed the second wolf by the throat, mid-air, lifting a 400-pound beast with one hand, and hurled it violently into the third, sending them both tumbling over the cliff edge into the dark ravine below. The fourth wolf whimpered, skidding to a halt, but a vicious backhand from the stranger sent it flying into an oak tree, unconscious. The clearing went dead silent. The wind seemed to hold its breath. Gideon's arrogant sneer vanished, replaced by a look of sheer, unadulterated shock. No rogue had that kind of strength. No ordinary werewolf could dispatch four trained Alpha Guard enforcers in 5 seconds without even shifting. Who are you? Lucien demanded, his voice losing its booming confidence, a tremor of uncertainty creeping in. The stranger reached up with both hands and grasped the edges of his heavy hood. You call me a nameless rogue, Lucien of the Silver Pines, the stranger said, his deep voice carrying easily over the howling wind. It was no longer just a rumble. It was a pure, unadulterated alpha command. It was so potent, so overwhelmingly ancient, that three of the surrounding wolves instantly dropped to their bellies, whimpering in involuntary submission. He pulled the hood back. Rosalind gasped, taking a step back. She had expected an old, scarred veteran, a disfigured outcast. Instead, she looked upon a man of striking, terrifying beauty. He appeared young, perhaps in his late 20s, but his eyes held centuries of cold, hard warfare. He had sharp, aristocratic cheekbones, a strong, unyielding jaw, and thick, midnight black hair that whipped in the wind. But it was his eyes that stole the breath from everyone's lungs. They were not the common amber or yellow of regular wolves. They were a brilliant, luminescent, molten gold, the true mark of royal Lycan blood. And as the wind pulled his cloak aside, the moonlight illuminated the side of his neck. There, etched into his skin, in stark black ink, was the undeniable crest. A wolf howling with a crown of thorns and swords. The royal crest of the northern reaches. Gideon stumbled backward, falling onto his backside in the snow, all color draining from his face. No, it's impossible. Alpha Lucien fell to his knees, his arrogant pride shattering into a million pieces of terror. Your Majesty. Rosalind's mind spun. The stories, the legends. The brutal, undefeated warlord of the North who had conquered 5 territories before his 25th birthday. The king who supposedly executed traitorous alphas with his bare hands. Felix Pendleton, the Alpha King. Felix turned his glowing golden eyes toward Rosalind, his expression softening just a fraction, though the deadly aura around him remained. "I believe," Felix said, turning his gaze back to a trembling Lucian, his voice dripping with lethal promise. "You just threatened to lock my queen in a dungeon." The silence in the clearing was heavier than the falling snow. Alpha Lucian, a man who had ruled the Silver Pines with an iron fist and a heart of stone, remained on his knees. His forehead practically touched the frozen earth in an agonizing display of absolute submission. Beside him, Gideon was hyperventilating, his eyes darting frantically between Felix's glowing golden gaze and the heavy silver rings adorning the king's hands. To strike a member of the royal bloodline was treason. To threaten the king's mate was a death sentence so horrific it was only whispered about in the dark corners of the continent. Rosalind stood perfectly still, the magical brand on her hand suddenly feeling very warm beneath her glove. She looked at Felix Pendleton. The rumors painted him as a savage warlord, a beast who drank the blood of his enemies. But standing here, he exuded a terrifying, controlled elegance. "I'm waiting for an explanation, Lucia." Felix's voice cut through the howling wind, low and dangerously soft. "Explain to me why my queen, a woman carrying the ancient blood of the goddess, was found in a smuggler's tavern, selling her mother's dowry to escape your lands." "Your Majesty," Lucien stammered, his usual booming voice reduced to a pathetic rasp. We did not know. Had you sent an emissary, had you announced your intentions for her hand, I would have gladly Silence. The command was absolute. It forced Lucien's jaw shut with an audible click, the alpha magic overriding his own autonomy. Felix stepped forward, his boots crunching in the snow. He bypassed Lucien entirely and stopped in front of Gideon. The massive enforcer, still naked from his shift, shivered violently and not from the cold. "You wished to tear my arms off," Felix mused, tilting his head. "You wished to drag my bride back to your bed. Tell me, mongrel, how do you intend to accomplish this?" Gideon swallowed hard, his eyes wide with a coward's panic. "Mercy, my king. I spoke out of turn. I am but a humble servant of the Silver Moon." "You are a rot on this land," Felix replied coldly. In a flash of desperate, suicidal panic, Gideon's survival instincts misfired. Believing he was dead anyway, the enforcer's eyes flashed yellow. He let out a guttural roar, shifting halfway, his claws elongating as he lunged upward, aiming a desperate, slashing blow at Felix's throat. Rosalind screamed a warning. Felix didn't even flinch. With a speed that defied the laws of physics, his hand shot out, wrapping around Gideon's thick wrist before the claws could graze his skin. Felix squeezed. The sound of dense bone splintering echoed like a gunshot in the quiet woods. Gideon shrieked, a horrific, high-pitched wail as his forearm shattered completely. But Felix wasn't finished. He twisted his grip, bringing the massive enforcer crashing down onto his back in the snow, and planted a heavy, steel-toed boot firmly onto Gideon's chest, pinning him. "Mercy is a privilege reserved for men of honor," Felix stated, looking down at the writhing beast. "You strike at your king from the dirt. You shall stay in the dirt." Felix extended his hand. The air around him shimmered with raw, golden energy. He didn't use a blade. He used the purest form of alpha dominance. He slammed his glowing palm against the center of Gideon's chest. A shockwave of pure magical force erupted, blowing the snow back in a 10-foot radius. Gideon's back arched off the ground, his eyes rolling back into his head. The sickening sound of tearing spirit filled the air. Felix was forcibly severing Gideon's connection to his inner wolf. When Felix lifted his hand, Gideon collapsed, gasping weakly. He would never shift again. He was reduced to a crippled, broken human. Felix turned his burning gaze back to Lucienne, who was trembling so violently his teeth chattered. The Silver Moon Pack is corrupt, Lucienne. You have sold your daughters and harbored rabid dogs like this one to maintain your pathetic grip on these mountains, Felix declared, his voice ringing with absolute authority. Consider this an act of grace. I will not slaughter your pack tonight, but you will pay a tithe of 50 chests of silver and half your winter harvest to the northern reaches every year for the rest of your miserable life. If the wagons are one day late, I will return, and I will not leave a single stone of your fortress standing. Do we understand one another? Yes, your majesty, Lucienne choked out, tears of humiliation freezing on his cheeks. We understand. Good. Felix turned his back on them, dismissing the once fearsome Alpha like a peasant. He walked over to Rosalind, the terrifying aura instantly evaporating, replaced by a strange, quiet calm. He reached out, gently wrapping his heavy cloak around her shivering shoulders. Come, Rosalind, he said softly. Your carriage awaits. He led her past the tree line to the main mountain pass. There, emerging from the shadows, was a massive, heavily armored carriage forged of black iron and silver, pulled by six monstrous pitch-black war horses. A dozen elite northern guards, cloaked in furs and bearing the crest of the Howling Wolf, stood at attention. Upon seeing Felix, they dropped to one knee in perfect unison. Rosalind allowed herself to be helped into the plush, velvet-lined interior of the carriage. As Felix climbed in and the doors shut behind them, sealing out the winter storm, the reality of what she had just done finally crashed over her. She had escaped a monster, but she had married a god of war. The journey north took 3 grueling days. Inside the carriage, however, it was warm and quiet. The tension between Rosalind and Felix was a palpable, vibrating string. She watched him carefully from her side of the velvet bench. He spent hours reading scrolls by the light of a magical glowing orb, his expression an unreadable mask of stone. Finally, Rosalind couldn't bear the silence any longer. Why were you there? She asked, her voice steady despite the flutter in her chest. At the boar's head. Kings do not drink ale in smugglers' dens. Felix slowly rolled up the parchment he was reading and set it aside. He looked at her, those molten gold eyes analyzing her just as they had in the tavern. I was looking for you, he answered simply. Rosalind blinked. Me? But we have never met. The Silver Moon Pack is insignificant compared to the northern reaches. Your father's territory is insignificant, yes, but your bloodline is not. Felix leaned forward, resting his forearms on his knees. Your mother, Lady Beatrice, was not a commoner. She was the last direct descendant of the first seers of the moon, a bloodline thought to have been eradicated during the Shadow Wars. Rosalind's brow furrowed. My mother died when I was young. She only left me her dowry and old bedtime stories. Stories that contain the old magic, Felix corrected. Magic that runs in your veins. That is why the Blood Pact reacted so violently when we joined hands. I felt it, Rosalind. You carry a power you do not even understand. And you need this power? She asked, a spark of defensive anger igniting in her chest. Is that why you agreed to the pact? Am I just another political tool for another powerful man? Traded from my father's cage into a golden one? Felix's eyes flashed, but it wasn't with anger. It was with respect. If I wanted a docile tool, I would have arranged a traditional mating with one of the southern princesses. They are trained to smile, breed, and stay silent. You, on the other hand, stole your dowry, sneaked out of an armed fortress, and marched into a den of cutthroats to buy a husband. You are a survivor. I do not need a tool, Rosalind. I need a queen with fangs. Before she could process his words, the carriage began to slow. The heavy iron wheels rumbled over a drawbridge. "We have arrived," Felix announced, pushing the carriage door open. Rosalind stepped out and gasped. Ethelgard, the royal citadel of the north, was not a fortress. It was a sprawling city carved directly into the side of a colossal, ice-capped mountain. Massive waterfalls cascaded down the stone, frozen mid-air into beautiful, glittering pillars of ice. The architecture was sharp, grand, and brutally elegant. Banners of black and silver snapped in the crisp, high-altitude wind as they walked up the sweeping obsidian stairs toward the main palace doors. Hundreds of courtiers, lords, and guards lined the path. They bowed deeply as Felix passed, but Rosalind could feel their eyes darting toward her. She felt their judgment, their curiosity, and from some, sharp, unmistakable hostility. Once they were safely behind the heavy oak doors of the king's private study, a massive room lined with thousands of ancient books and a roaring fireplace, Felix turned to her. "You asked me what I wanted in return for marrying you in that tavern," Felix said, his tone shifting to business. "The favor I mentioned." "I did," Rosalind said, lifting her chin, preparing herself for whatever impossible task he was about to demand. "The northern reaches are wealthy and powerful, but we are bleeding from the inside," Felix explained, walking over to pour two goblets of dark, spiced wine. He handed one to her. "My council of elders grows ambitious. There is a faction within my own court plotting to overthrow me, funded by the southern wastes. They are subtle. They operate in shadows and whispers, using poison and blackmail. I am a warrior, Rosalind. I know how to lead armies and slaughter enemies on a battlefield. I do not know how to play the delicate, poisonous games of court politics." He took a slow sip of his wine, his gaze locked onto hers. "My enemies expect me to take a weak, pampered bride. They expect a vulnerability they can exploit. I need you to be my bait, my spy, and my partner. I need you to navigate the viper's nest of the court, draw out the traitors, and help me execute them. Your favor, Rosalind, is to rule by my side and tear out the throats of anyone who tries to take this crown." Rosalind stared at him, her heart hammering a frantic rhythm against her ribs. He wasn't asking for submission. He wasn't asking her to be a silent broodmare. He was handing her a knife and asking her to step into the ring. A slow, dangerous smile curved onto Rosalind's lips. She looked down at the silver scar on her palm, the blood pact that tied her to the most powerful man in the world. She had spent her entire life trying to survive the cruelty of wolves. It was time she learned how to hunt them. "Tell me, my king," Rosalind said, raising her goblet in a mock toast. "Who is our first target?" For the next 3 months, Ethelgard became Rosalind's battlefield. The transition from a captive daughter in a backwater pack to the queen of the northern reaches was a baptism by fire. Felix did not hide her away in silk-lined chambers. He threw her directly into the deep end of the political pool, fully expecting her to swim. The royal court was a labyrinth of forced smiles, veiled insults, and deadly ambitions. The northern lords were proud, ancient wolves who viewed Rosalind with thinly veiled contempt. To them, she was a southern mutt, a temporary distraction the king had picked up in a tavern. They underestimated her at every turn. It was the greatest weapon Felix could have given her. Rosalind traded her heavy wool tunics for gowns of midnight velvet and spun silver, learning to wear her royal status like a suit of armor. She sat silently at Felix's side during council meetings, her seer blood dormant for a generation, beginning to hum under the surface of her skin. She found she could read the microscopic twitches in a lord's jaw, the scent of nervous sweat beneath heavy colognes, and the subtle shifts in heartbeat when someone lied. The prime suspect in Felix's investigation was a man who held immense power within the citadel, Lord Henry Astor. Astor was a wealthy, influential aristocrat whose bloodline traced back to the original founders of the North. He was the master of coin, a man whose private name commanded almost as much respect in the banking guilds and trade routes as the king's did. Henry Astor was charming, impeccably dressed, and always the first to loudly proclaim his undying loyalty to Felix. But Rosalind's magic whispered a different story. Whenever Astor looked at the king, the air around him tasted of copper and bitter ash, the unmistakable psychic residue of deep-seated envy. The trap was finally set during the grand winter solstice ball, the most important event of the northern calendar. The great hall of Æthelgard was transformed into a glittering spectacle of wealth and power. Thousands of candles floated in the air, held aloft by ancient enchantments, casting a warm, golden glow over the sea of aristocrats. The music was a sweeping, triumphant waltz, and the tables groaned under the weight of roasted boar, candied fruits, and rivers of fine wine. Rosalind stood beside Felix on the raised dais, observing the crowd. She wore a crown of blackened silver intertwined with sapphires, a heavy weight that she bore with a straight spine. Felix, looking devastatingly handsome in his formal military regalia, rested a warm, heavy hand on the small of her back. Over the months, their partnership had evolved into something fierce and undeniable. The blood pact had forced their souls together, but mutual respect had forged an actual bond. When he looked at her, those terrifying golden eyes held a heat that had nothing to do with warfare. "Astor is making his move," Rosalind murmured, keeping her gaze fixed straight ahead, smiling pleasantly at a passing duchess. "He has spoken to the captain of the East Gate 3 times tonight, and he just paid off 2 of the serving staff in the shadows near the kitchens." Felix's thumb stroked the velvet of her gown, a soothing gesture that contrasted with the lethal tension in his posture. "Are you certain, my queen?" "I am," she replied softly. "The air around him smells like rotting lilies. It's tonight." As if on cue, Lord Henry Astor stepped away from the crowd, holding a magnificent jewel-encrusted goblet. He climbed the short stairs to the dais, his smile perfectly crafted, bowing low before the king and queen. "Your Majesty, my queen," Astor's voice boomed, carrying over the music, drawing the attention of the surrounding lords. "On this night of the solstice, I wish to offer a toast to the continued strength of the North and to the health of our sovereign king." He extended the goblet toward Felix. It was a traditional gesture of submission and honor. To refuse a toast from a high lord in public was a grave insult. Felix reached out to take the goblet, but Rosalind's seer magic flared violently. A sudden, blinding flash of vision assaulted her mind. She saw Felix drinking, his veins turning black, his golden eyes dimming as he choked on his own blood. The vision was so vivid, the scent of wolfsbane and pulverized silver filled her nose. "Stop!" Rosalind's voice echoed through the great hall, sharp as a cracked whip. The music abruptly ceased. The dancers froze. Thousands of eyes turned to the dais in shock. Astor's charming smile faltered for a fraction of a second before returning. "My queen, is something amiss?" Rosalind stepped in front of Felix, placing herself between the king and the master of coin. Her heart hammered against her ribs, but her voice was ice cold. "A beautiful sentiment, Lord Astor. But as the king's mate, tradition dictates that I share in his honors. I shall drink the toast first." She reached for the goblet. Astor's hand tightened around the stem. His heartbeat, which Rosalind could hear clearly in the sudden silence, spiked erratically. "My queen, this wine is heavily spiced, meant for the robust constitution of an alpha. It might overwhelm you." "I survived the Ironhold Mountains, Astor," Rosalind said, her eyes narrowing. "I am sure a cup of wine will not kill me. Hand it over." "I insist, Your Grace. Give my queen the cup, Henry." Felix's voice was barely a whisper, yet it carried the terrifying weight of an avalanche. Astor swallowed hard, a bead of sweat tracing down his temple. Slowly, his hand trembling slightly, he surrendered the jeweled goblet to Rosalind. She held it up to the light. The dark ruby liquid swirled inside. She looked down at Astor, her seer magic projecting her voice into his mind alone. "I know what you are." Instead of drinking, Rosalind turned and poured the contents of the goblet onto a pure silver serving platter resting on the royal table. The reaction was instantaneous and violent. The moment the wine touched the silver, it hissed like an angry snake. A thick, noxious cloud of green smoke billowed upward, and the silver platter began to melt, bubbling and popping as the highly concentrated, weaponized acid ate through the metal in seconds. A collective gasp of horror ripped through the great hall. "Treason!" someone screamed from the crowd. Astor didn't hesitate. The facade dropped entirely. "Kill them!" he roared to the hidden conspirators in the room. Chaos erupted. A dozen guards stationed around the perimeter of the hall threw off their cloaks, revealing the insignias of Astor's private army. They drew crossbows loaded with silver-tipped bolts and aimed them directly at the dais. At the same time, three heavily scarred mercenaries broke from the crowd, shifting halfway into their monstrous wolf forms, lunging toward the king and queen with bared fangs and drawn steel. It was a perfectly coordinated coup. They had expected Felix to be poisoned, weakening him enough for the assassins to finish the job. They had not expected Rosalind. Before the first crossbow bolt could leave its casing, Felix moved. He didn't bother shifting. His pure alpha aura exploded outward in a shockwave of golden light. He grabbed the heavy, solid oak royal table and hurled it through the air with one arm. The massive piece of furniture slammed into the line of traitorous guards, crushing them against the stone wall with a sickening crunch. The three half-shifted mercenaries reached the dais. The first swung a heavy broadsword aimed at Rosalind's neck. Rosalind ducked beneath the blade, the combat training Felix had insisted she learn kicking in. She drew the silver hunting dagger strapped beneath her gown and drove it upward, plunging it deep into the mercenary's thigh. The beast roared in pain, stumbling back. Felix was a god of death on the floor. He caught the second mercenary by the throat, hoisting the massive creature into the air and snapping its neck with a flick of his wrist. He spun, catching the third assassin's blade with his bare, armored gauntlet, shattering the steel before driving a devastating punch into the man's chest, caving in his ribs.
Astor!
Felix roared, his golden eyes blazing with untethered fury. Lord Henry Astor had used the chaos to flee toward the heavy wooden doors of the Great Hall, surrounded by his remaining loyalists. But he was not fast enough. Rosalind felt the ancient magic in her blood boiling over. She raised her hand, the silver blood-packed scar on her palm glowing so brightly it illuminated the dark corners of the room. She tapped into the deep, dormant power of the first seers, channeling the raw energy of the moon itself. "Kneel," Rosalind commanded. It was not an Alpha's command. It was something older. A wave of pure silver magic erupted from her outstretched hand, sweeping across the floor. When it hit Astor and his men, the magic forced their bodies to obey the absolute authority of the seer bloodline. The traitorous guards collapsed to their knees, paralyzed, their weapons clattering uselessly to the stone floor. Lord Astor fought it, his face turning purple with effort, but the magical pressure was too immense. With a cry of defeated agony, he crashed to his knees, utterly immobilized. The remaining loyal royal guards swarmed the room, securing the surviving traitors and bringing order to the blood-spattered hall. The aristocrats who had cowered in the corners slowly stood up, looking at their king and his new queen in absolute awe. Felix stalked across the room, his boots echoing ominously until he stood over the paralyzed Master of Coin. "You orchestrated the Southern Rebellion," Felix stated, his voice devoid of emotion, a cold executioner's judgment. "You funded the rogues. You even paid Alpha Lucian to maintain his brutal grip on the Ironhold passes, keeping the South destabilized, so I would be distracted while you gathered your forces here." Astor, unable to move his body, glared up at Felix with venomous hatred. "You are a warmonger, Pendleton. The North belongs to the old blood. You are unfit to rule us." "Perhaps," Felix said softly, "but I am the king, and you are a dead man." Felix didn't use magic. He simply drew the heavy, ceremonial broadsword from his hip. With one clean, brutal swing, he severed Lord Henry Astor's head from his shoulders. The thud of the traitor's head hitting the stone floor echoed in the suffocating silence of the Great Hall. Felix slowly wiped the blood from his blade with a linen cloth. He turned his back on the corpse and walked back to the dais, where Rosalind stood, her chest heaving, the silver glow slowly fading from her hand. He stopped in front of her, the terrifying warlord melting away, leaving only the man who had looked at her in a dark tavern and seen her true worth. He reached out, gently wiping a smudge of soot from her cheek. "You saved my life, Rosalind," he whispered, for her ears only. "You gave me the power to do it," she replied, her voice trembling slightly from the adrenaline, but her gaze unbroken. "We had a deal, Felix," Felix smiled, a genuine, rare expression that transformed his harsh features into something breathtaking. He turned to face the hundreds of lords, ladies, and courtiers who were staring at them in stunned silence. They had witnessed the king's brutal power, but more importantly, they had just witnessed a mere runaway daughter command ancient magic and dismantle a coup. Felix took Rosalind's hand, the hand bearing the blood pact, and raised it high into the air. "Behold your queen," Felix's voice boomed, shaking the very foundations of Ethelgard. "She who carries the blood of the goddess. She who roots out the rot in our foundations. Let it be known from the icy peaks of the north to the borders of the silver pines. Anyone who crosses Rosalind Pendleton crosses the king. And they will meet the same fate as the trash at my feet." For a moment, nobody moved. Then the oldest and most stubborn of the northern lords, an ancient duke with a scarred face, stepped forward and dropped heavily to one knee, bowing his head in absolute submission.
"Long live the king," the duke bellowed. "Long live the true queen."
One by one, the rest of the court followed, a wave of velvet, silk, and armor sinking to the stone floor, until every single person in the great hall was kneeling before Rosalind. She looked out over the sea of bowed heads. She had started this journey as a desperate girl, willing to throw her life away to a stranger just to escape a monster. She had run from a pack that viewed her as livestock, only to find herself standing at the pinnacle of the world, married to a man who didn't want to break her, but wanted her to rule. Felix squeezed her hand. She squeezed back, the mate bond singing brightly in her chest. She wasn't just surviving anymore. She was exactly where she was meant to be. And that is how a desperate escape forged the most powerful empire the North had ever seen. Rosalind went from a frightened runaway to a legendary queen, proving that true power isn't about physical strength. It's about courage, intelligence, and the magic in your blood. Lord Astor thought he could outsmart the Alpha King, but he completely underestimated the fierce, ancient magic of the Seer Queen standing right beside him. The Blood Pact didn't just save her from Gideon. It unlocked her destiny and brought Felix the true equal he always needed to secure his throne. What an insane ride of betrayal, magic, and royal revenge. If you loved this epic conclusion and want more thrilling werewolf romance dramas with insane twists, hit that like button, share this video with your fellow fantasy lovers, and subscribe to the channel. Don't forget to ring the bell so you never miss a story. Let us know in the comments. Did you guess Lord Astor was the traitor all along? Or did the poison twist catch you off guard? See you in the next tale.